Please do take a seat. Well, children, it's Easter day, isn't it? Did you get Easter eggs, some of you? Yeah, I don't know if you... when are you supposed to eat Easter eggs? Because we've got a ton of them in our house. Yeah? We have something called parent tax, which applies to all forms of chocolate. But children, it's not just Easter day, is it? It's another day today. What's the other day that it is? April Fool's Day. By some great miracle, no one has pranked me yet, which is incredible. I'm so glad they haven't, by the way. Yes, well. children, have any of you done any April Fools? Any good ones? Oh. I wanted to tell you, maybe I can have the... 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago. It was April Fool's Day, and it was the middle of the Easter holidays. And I got Breeze to call our telephone, and I pretended I was talking to the headmistress of St. Andrew's School, Mrs. Bennett. I said, "Hello, Mrs. Bennett." And I was having this sort of one-sided conversation. I said, "What? They have to come in today, but it's the holidays." "Oh, the government said you gave them too much holiday, and they have to come in today." "Okay. Well, they'd be very, very disappointed about this." And so it went on. The girls, I did it deliberately when they were listening. And I said, "I'm so sorry, girls, you've got to go in." They said, "You don't have to wear a uniform, but you've got to go in." And they got dressed, and they were not more than a little upset. And we walked all the way down to the gate of St. Andrew's School. And sure enough, there were kids inside, because it was Easter clubs, you know? So, and then I turned with a big smile, "April Fools," and they have not forgiven me. They need some serious teaching on vengeance and belongs to God. Anyway, here are a few good April Fools. Do you want some ideas? Toothpaste in the Oreos. Here we got two glasses of water. Notice they're upside down. But something suspicious there, because if you look at the quality of the writing, I have a feeling it wasn't written by the kids, but there you go. Donut seeds, now you know where donuts come from. Oh, this is good. Please honk and wave, she doesn't know this is here. Anyone done this? Yeah. I did this to Breeze. If you value your relationship, I don't recommend you try that. She blew her nose. It was fine. That's how the story goes. Right. Occupied toilet. Waiting to desperate for the loo, and actually it's just a... Oh, this is good, isn't it? The parents have gone. They've covered the floor with glasses of water and all the post-it notes. And now here's one. Take all the keys off the keyboard, put some tissue and water and Crest seeds. And a week later, you will have a Crest. So, guys, when does April Fool's Day finish? Midday. Is that the adult response? Okay, some say that's a traditional view, but anyway, we'll leave that. So, you know what? Sometimes people say that Christians are foolish, don't they? They say that we're foolish, that we're fools to believe in God. But I think today, being the day of resurrection, I think it reminds us that following Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, is pretty much the smartest thing that we can do in life. In fact, the Bible says these words, Psalm 24, verse 1, "A fool says in his heart, there is no God." Maybe we can read this verse together. I'm going to say a few words about this later. Hopefully you can read this. Let's read it. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Amen. Let's pray, shall we? As we pray, I just want to read a few verses from 1 Corinthians 15. "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all people. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, and we praise you for raising your Son, Jesus, from death. And thank you, Lord, that because you raised him, It means we have the promise and the assurance that you will also raise us. And so, Father, we can take those words onto our lips. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God. He gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Going to sing just before that. We don't have any notices, which is good. But yesterday we had the Easter extravaganza. And if you were here, you will know it was a phenomenal event. And I just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who was involved in running that. We calculate there were between 200 and 300 people that came to that event yesterday morning. And so I want to say a big thank you to Nick. And also a very big thank you to the Gasses. And when I say the Gasses, I do mean all four of them, Ruth, Paul, Adam, and Naomi, who were literally the last family standing yesterday. So should we just show our appreciation for their hard work? Also, just to say on your notice sheet, it mentions the prayer breakfast. It says in the heading it's on the 7th of April, but then in the text it says the 3rd of April. And I don't know if Stephen did this deliberately, but you didn't do it deliberately, did you? But it means I have to give a notice, which is to say it is on the 7th of April, the prayer breakfast, okay? So do come along if you can, if you're not on holiday. We're going to sing again that song that we began with, The Moon and the Stars, They Wept. I heard this song about 10 months ago, and I immediately wrote it in my diary. I thought, we have to sing that on Easter Day at HBC. So it's been in my mind for a long time, and hopefully we've learnt it. So let's stand and sing and rejoice together. That breeze is going to say a few words for some of the children here. That's all.
So, if any of the smaller ones amongst younger ones, maybe minis and a bit above, would like to come with me over there, we're going to do something that we might hopefully finish in time to show you. It's a secret message. So if you'd like to tiptoe with me over there.
Did you hear that? I'm stood right next to her. Okay, so something secret is going on over there. I'm sure we'll find out what it is later. So if you want to go and help in that, you can. Adults, stay in here, please. Andy, maybe could I have the PowerPoint? As we know, today's April Fool's Day, and that's not our focus. But it did get me thinking about this theme of foolishness and, of course, wisdom. And I wonder, are we fools? Are we fools to believe it, that there is a God? Are we fools to believe in Jesus? Are we fools to believe in his resurrection? You know, I can't quite work out what I make of this cartoon, whether it's for Christianity or against it, but I just know I don't really like it very much. But are our candidates, Barbara and Christian, is what they're doing, is it sensible, or have they gone out on a limb? Anyone know what this is? This is a sea squirt. A sea squirt. When sea squirts are born, they drift through the ocean until they find a nice rock. And when I say a nice rock, it has to be a rock with water around it that's the right temperature and a good source of food. And when they find this rock, they settle and they never move again. They stay there for the rest of their lives. Guess what the first thing a sea squirt does when it settles? It eats its brain. It figures, hey, I don't need this anymore. I'm settled, I'm sorted for life. And that just got me thinking. I found a challenge in that as I read it in one of my diet books. Is that what Christianity is? Are we people who drift through life and then we find a place, we think, oh, this is a place of solidity, and I'll settle here, and I'll eat my brain. I don't need to think anymore now. I don't need to engage anymore now with that sort of thing. Is that a picture of Christianity? Well, let's have a look at these words, which I think show us the true story. Hope you can read that. Let me read it to us. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, But to us who have been saved, it is the power of God. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. So we read here that the message of the cross is foolishness to some, to those who are perishing, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. And you think, well, if that's how people see the cross, then why would we talk about it? But actually, Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. That is our message, Christ crucified. Anyone know what an oxymoron is? Very good. That's a very succinct definition. Thank you, Paul. The OED didn't quite manage to be that succinct. A combination of contradictory or incongruous words. That's an oxymoron. So, for example, we speak of a deafening silence, and there is such a thing. a comedian was seriously funny, and the apple pie was awfully good. So these are oxymorons. Well, if you lived in the first century and you were a Jewish or a Greek person, Christ crucified was an oxymoron. And the reason is that those two words just shouldn't be together. What does Christ mean? Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. And the Messiah was that conquering figure who would ride on the war horse, defeat the Romans, and restore the spiritual fortunes of the people. Absolute polar opposite to crucified. It's a contradiction in terms. It's an oxymoron. For the Greeks, they were all about the power of reason and philosophy, and the Greek gods were strong. They would not for a minute think their gods would die on a cross. So maybe it's this way of thinking that led somebody in the first or second century, we're not sure which, to inscribe this piece of graffiti on a cave. This is a genuine piece of graffiti, 1900 years old. And what you have there is a depiction of Christ, but with a donkey's head. And underneath, in Greek, it says, Alexamenos worships his God. Maybe, you know, that gives you an idea of the disdain with which people understood the term Christ crucified. But the church preached it. And not only that, they preached the resurrection. And again, this was not a popular message. You remember Paul in Acts 17, he spoke to the Athenians, and they were listening to him very nicely until he mentioned the resurrection. And at that point, many sneered. They're like, he's gone too far. This is ludicrous. We do not believe in resurrection, certainly not physical resurrection. So Paul says in verse 22 here, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. The Jews wanted the big sign, the big miracle to show that Jesus was God. The Greeks wanted something awfully clever, something terribly intellectual to believe that would flatter their minds. But when they looked at the cross, all they saw was failure and foolishness. And maybe the cross would have been failure and foolishness had it not been for the resurrection. This is the game changer. This is what changed everything. See, the Jews look for a sign. Well, here's a sign. If you read the first chapter of Romans, it says that God the Father raised Jesus from death. And by doing so, he demonstrated, he proved, he authenticated that Jesus was God's Son. There's the sign. The Greeks look for wisdom. Well, we see in the resurrection the wisdom of God, that actually the cross was not a place of defeat and failure. The cross was a moment of triumph. Christ was reigning. He was conquering from the cross. And the resurrection makes that abundantly clear. It underlines it. I've been thinking recently, maybe you can think this too. If you've been there in the first century, what would it take if you met Jesus to make you believe he was the Son of God? What would it take you to believe that? And I was thinking about it, so I thought, well, Jesus had amazing teaching, but of course there are lots of people, wise teachers in the world, Jesus performed great miracles. He healed the blind and so on. But you could say, well, is that Jesus doing that? Or is it God doing it through Jesus? Yeah? And I think for me, I've come to the conclusion, the thing that would turn me, that would change me, that would make me understand that Jesus really was who he'd been saying he was all along, is the resurrection. That death did not hold him, but he came back from the dead and appeared to the disciples. So there is a profound wisdom of God in what we are celebrating today. Wisdom is not merely a set of ideas or beliefs. Wisdom is not something. Wisdom is someone. It says here, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Waiting for the scream, it's coming. There it is. Oh, I remember that when I was a child. You know, it's horrible, isn't it? Christian and Barbara have made a decision to follow Christ, and they're going to go through this morning in a little while that what we call the sacrament of baptism. And that word sacrament is from a Latin word, sacramentum. And the sacramentum was the oath of allegiance that a soldier would take to the emperor. I am going to be loyal to you even to the point of death. And that is what they have done. We say people have given their lives to Jesus. They have quite literally given their lives into his hands. They've said, my life is not mine. Christ is my Lord. But in giving their lives, they have received back life that is far better. Not just now, but also one that bears the promise of eternal life. There was a young man named Jim Elliot. Have you heard of Jim Elliot? He took the gospel to one of the native tribes in Ecuador in 1956. And the natives killed him. Died at the age of 28. Now, some people would say, what a mistake he made. What a disaster. But Jim Elliot said these words. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. It is not foolish to give our lives to Christ. We can't hold on to our mortal lives forever anyway. We give our lives to Christ, and in return, he gives us something back that we cannot lose. I love that verse that says, and I think it's in Romans, I can't remember, I should be able to remember, that we have been given the right to be called the children of God. It's not just a favor or something that God sort of on a good day was, yes, okay, you are my child. It is our right. We can come to God and say, this is my right. I am a son and a daughter of God because of what Jesus has done on the cross. It's a very strong statement. Jesus said these words. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. What we're going to see in a few moments through this act of baptism, we're going to see a reenactment, really, of what Jesus went through in this Easter time. Because, as we know, Jesus died, was buried, and then rose from death. And in baptism, there is a similar movement. There is a lowering into the water, which is that symbol, that process of dying. Dying to the old self. Dying to the lives that we had that rejected God. And then, momentarily, you'll be under the water. And that is saying, yes, this death is final. We are dead and buried. But then as you come from the water, there is a rising to new life. Yesterday we had a crisis here because the baptistry heater broke and the water was stone cold. We thought Christian might be okay. We're not sure how Barbara would have felt about that. So we had a crisis, and I have to thank Northway Church because actually they let us use their heater, and so the water is nice and warm, and in fact the water is hot. But when we notice the instructions, it's called birth works, and I think we have the heater to a birthing pool. It seems so. But how appropriate. How appropriate. That is exactly what we're celebrating. That actually there is new birth that has taken place. It's already happened, of course, for Barbara and Christian, but we are remembering that today, and that's very exciting. One Sunday I was announcing this baptismal service, and instead of saying we'll have baptisms on Easter Day, I got it wrong. I said we'll have some resurrections on Easter Day. But actually, how appropriate, because that is exactly what we're celebrating. We're celebrating Christ's resurrection. We're celebrating Barbara and Christian's resurrection. And if we're in Christ, we're celebrating our resurrection too. So this physical movement that they go through depicts a spiritual movement that has taken place in our lives because that took place in Christ. Amen. Well, priests, yes, they're done. So children, come on up. Let's see what they've done for us. I was going to say talk among yourselves, but that's never a good thing to say in church, so let's not do that. Here we go. We've got the first word. Do you want to come up here? Right, why don't you stand here? Okay, just back. There you go. What does your word say? Do you know?
Jesus.
Say again.
Jesus.
Right, we've got Jesus. And, okay, Becca, you stand there. And what's your word?
Is.
And okay, there we go. Peter, what do you know what this word says? No? Breeze, what does this word say? Jesus is alive. Yay! Shall we clap? Jesus is alive. Thank you, guys. You want to go? We'll put that up somewhere, I'm sure. Thank you very much. We're going to take a few moments to pray. And I'll switch mics. Four areas are going to come up here that we're going to pray for before our baptisms. And we want to pray for the world. We want to pray for those who are ill. We want to pray for those on holiday. And we want to pray for people to understand the resurrection and to find Christ. And with each of these, I'm just going to give a few moments. And I'd like you just to think of one situation or one person and then just pray silently. Now, it could be if you've got a child next to you or near you that it will help them if you actually pray out loud with them. That's fine. But let's take each of these areas. I'm going to begin by praying for the world. Lots of conflict. Syria, Yemen, the Gaza Strip. No, sorry, the West Bank. No, the Gaza Strip. Gaza Strip. Slight signs of hope in North Korea, but let's pray, take one of these or something else, and just pray silently or pray with your child, and then in a moment we'll say some words to draw prayers together. So let's pray for the world. Let's say these words together. You are the resurrection and the life. Please bring new life. Let's take a moment to pray for someone you know who's struggling at the moment, particularly if they're struggling with ill health. Let's commit them to God. Let's say these words. You are the resurrection and the life. Please bring new life. Some from here already on the holidays, some are going tomorrow or later this week. Let's pray for all those who are on holidays, that it will be a time of refreshing for them. Pray for those we know who are going to serve at Spring Harvest, Nick and the team he's taking from here and others. Let's pray. Let's say again. You are the resurrection and the life. Please bring new life. And finally, we want to pray for others to know Jesus. Think of just one person that you would love to know Jesus. Maybe God actually has a part for you to play in that. And can I just say, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus yet, then just why not say to him, here I am, I'm here. Come and live in my heart. I'm here, come and live in my heart. Let's take a moment to pray. Let's say, you are the resurrection and the life. Please bring new life. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing one last song before we have our baptisms. We'll take the offering as we sing this. If you're a visitor here, please do not feel obliged at all to give into the offering. Of course, you're very welcome if you wish to, but there's no obligation. So let's stand and sing, Who Breaks the Power of Sin and Darkness? This is Amazing Grace.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. That you lay down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me.
Who brings our chaos?
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nation with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its radiance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, that you lay down your life, that I would be set free.
Please be seated. I think we nearly had an infant baptism then. We don't do infant baptisms here, but it's always a first. We're going to baptize Barbara and Christian now. And can I just make one request? Could you not take photographs just during this part of the service? The candidates, this is an act of worship for them, and they just want to focus on that. So if you could refrain from photography during the baptisms. But are we good to go, Paul? Screens? Yes. It will all be on the screen for us to see. So, Christian, would you come up, please? Christian's just going to, for 1 or 2 minutes, share something of his own story about how he found Christ.
Thanks, Chris. This microphone?
Yeah.
So in my old life, I was broken. I didn't know God or Jesus, and I had conformed to the ways of the world. I was living very much in my flesh and living a life of sin. This included lies, debauchery, drugs, competitive, like one-upmanship, and more. This way of living was tearing my life apart and destroying everything in my life. Systematically, I was losing everything. My fiancé had split from me, I had lost all of my so-called friends, and work was a struggle and my life felt empty. I started to search for a solution to my brokenness, and I knew I had to change. I started looking for a rehabilitation clinic. In my secular view, this was what I needed. I found an organisation that looked like they might be able to help. I contacted them and they said to travel to Birmingham, and there I could join their programme, and my expectations were set. I would join this programme, get fixed, and then my life could continue. I wrapped up my business, packed a bag, sold my motorbike, bought a train ticket and headed to Birmingham. I abandoned everything else. All I had were a few possessions and some photographs. Strange as this was, it felt absolutely 100% right. I arrived in Birmingham on the morning of September the 26th, 2016, and unbeknown to me, I was about to join a Christian community. And whilst the first 2 weeks were a bit of a whirlwind, I started to realise. I was living in Christian community in a house best described as a mansion with 20 other blokes. There were 4 other houses in Birmingham with just over 100 people altogether. There were and still are many other houses around the UK too, with a total of more than 300 men and women all being saved in one way or another. Miracles were happening daily in that place, and I'm sure still are to this day. Late October 2016, all the houses from around the UK joined together in a church in Nottingham to celebrate and worship God. During one of the services, while stood with everyone else singing praise to God, I experienced what I can only describe as total contentment, an overwhelming feeling of love and completeness. I knew I was being touched by God and that from my life, and that my life from here on in would be different. The contentment I was seeking in all my sin, I had found in Jesus. I knew my old life was gone, and I, from that day on, began to repent and ask for forgiveness. Of course, I was forgiven. God was showing me his forgiveness and grace, and continues to daily. Not only was I forgiven, but I was fixed, and being fixed far outweighed my expectations. I thought I was going to rehab. I ended up becoming a child of God. One of the greatest lessons I've learned through coming to Christ is that I am nothing without him. I tried numerous times to fix myself before coming to Christ and failed every time. The first time I asked Christ to fix me, he did. I now know I can rest on Jesus and I will never be alone in the dark again. My faith continues to grow, and this day of baptism for me, whilst it is important, it's just another step upwards in deepening my faith and dedicating my life to Christ Jesus. So thank you, God. Mm.
Christian, if I can ask you these questions. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and do you turn from sin, renounce evil?
I do.
Will you live within the fellowship of the church, and will you serve Jesus Christ in this world? Then come and be baptized. Is that warm enough? As it just turned around there. Right, I'm going to pray for you, Christian. We'll have a verse, please, first.
So it says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Hmm.
Father God, I just pray for our brother Christian. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in his life. Thank you, Lord, that those things that are behind are behind. Thank you, Lord, that in you we have new starts. Thank you that Christian has set out on this journey. Thank you, Father, that you can keep his focus. You can keep him walking. And I pray, Father, that day by day he would know how to keep his eyes on you. That those things which press in on us around about wouldn't distract, wouldn't pull him in any other direction, but that he can keep his eyes fixed on you day by day and know your power to rebuild his life and to build it in a whole new way that honors you and praises you and has that eternal significance. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer. Jesus, my Redeemer. Name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Thank you, oh, my Father. Thank you, oh, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, O my Father. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Please be seated. Adam, I wonder if I could have that microphone back for a moment. Barbara's now going to come up and share her own story of faith in Christ. So come. Shall I lower the mic?
Appreciate it, thank you.
Is that right?
Yeah, beautiful, I think. Can everybody hear me? Yeah. I was brought up in a very happy, stable family. I went to Sunday school and church in the evening with my parents and was confirmed in my early teens. I longed for good friends. The girls in my class were okay, got on with them up to a point, but I didn't seem to fit in. Their interests, films and going out on Friday evenings all dressed up, just didn't appeal to me. I was a bit of a loner. Sundays were okay. At least I met with girls I got on with quite well at Sunday school. And I hoped that being good, doing well at school, would give me friends and acceptance. Then one Sunday evening, a group of young men lodging nearby and studying in Birmingham came to the service and were wanting to set up a youth group on Sunday evenings after the service. They asked my friends and I if we'd like to join. Now, I'm not sure what the real reason for going was. Was it the eligible young men staying up later or their friendship? Probably a mixture of all three. We studied the Bible, prayed, and the leaders talked about their relationship with Jesus, something new to me. This was quite natural to them, and no mention of being good to have this friendship with Jesus. I enjoyed the weekends away and the days out together. It was good fun, and I loved being with them and felt accepted. Well, I left school at 16 and went to work at the Children's Hospital in Birmingham. There were two young people in my department who were extremely friendly and helped me to settle into work there. They also chatted about their friendship with Jesus and the Christian faith, invited me to their church, but I declined. I made excuses. So the witness of work colleagues, youth group leaders, learning about Jesus and his love for me, led me want to know Jesus as my friend and have the relationship with him which would give me a lifelong friendship and joy. One night, I said the prayer of commitment, asking God to forgive me trying to accept friendship with him for being good and doing good things. Instead, I wanted him to accept me as his friend, come into my life, and lead me by his Holy Spirit. All I needed to do was to believe that he would do it, and he has. Also, I have found it easier to make friends. Yes, I started my new life. It was like starting from scratch. I had to learn so much. The Bible is my handbook. I was grateful for the group, support and encouragement from them, and I'm still in touch with many of them. Yes, I did marry one of the men in the youth group. And together we have learned much. The various church families we joined in this country and other parts of the world indeed encouraged and nurtured us and helped us to grow more like Jesus. I feel that I am maturing very slowly in the Christian life, two steps up and one down. But God is very patient, as are my friends here at HBC. Yes, I expect many of you will be wondering why I want to be baptized now. Until now, this was about 50 years ago, by the way. Until now, I hadn't seen the need to be baptized. I knew I was a Christian. Well, when James announced that there could be baptisms on Easter Day, and would anyone like to be baptized, God started to tell me so clearly that I should do this. And he didn't stop talking to me until I gave in and said yes. And here I am today. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Barbara, can I ask you these questions as well? Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and do you turn from sin and renounce evil? Will you live within the fellowship of the church, and will you serve Jesus Christ in this world? Then come and be baptized.
We remember before our God and... Oh, sorry. Are you ready? We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. From 1 Thessalonians.
Father God, thank you very much for our sister Barbara. Lord, she may understand, as we all do when we look at ourselves, about that slowness in growing towards you. But Lord, as we look at her and experience her love and care in this fellowship, Lord, we're very impressed by the evidence and what we see of Jesus in her and of her lovely service for you, offered for you graciously and in love, offered generously and with encouragement. And Lord, I pray that she would know just those graces of those further steps with you, that today would be a fresh moment of knowing your touch in her life and of walking on with you. And Lord, I thank you for that testimony, how she discovered that just trying to serve you wasn't going to get there. But there's that moment that she just asked you to be her friend and asked you to forgive and asked you to make the differences. Thank you that you did that all those years ago. Thank you for the life that you've given her as a result of that and the life that is to come. And Lord, may this testimony work in our hearts to cause us to follow you more closely. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art, O Lord my God, O Lord my God. When I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel a gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come in heart of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I'll I bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Then sings my soul.
Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Let's just stay standing if you're able to, just for another moment. It's been wonderful to see these two baptisms, and we rejoice with them. And if something today has spoken to you, perhaps you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, but if something has spoken to you and you want to just talk a bit more, please do come and grab me after the service, or grab James once he's got changed. And we'd love to talk to you more about the Christian faith. Also, can I just say, Maksud, Brother Maksud is with us. Yeah, and he's here for a few weeks, so say hello to Maksud. Get him around for dinner. And also, I want to say well done to the children. You've been ever so good. You've been extremely good this morning. We're going to sing a final hymn to finish, which is that wonderful celebration of the death and resurrection of Jesus in Christ alone. So let's sing this to see out our service.
In Christ alone, my hope.